Thank you, everybody. My name is Jennifer. I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you for having me here today. To qualify myself, I've been in OA since March of 2024, so almost a year and a half. I became abstinent in April of 2024. When I came into program, I was 457 pounds and have released about 150 pounds since then. My experience with this disease. I started hiding food around 5 or 6, running into the kitchen, grabbing a handful of something, running to my bedroom or wherever to kind of hide myself from my mom mostly. At age 9, I started babysitting and I discovered other people's pantries, which was wonderful because I'd put the kids to bed and look at that. I could find different things in their pantries than was in my pantry. And most of it was sugary and refined carbohydrates. In the sixth grade was the first time I went to a pay and weigh. And I was able to get down to a size 9 pant, which was the smallest pant size I ever recall being. Which kind of tells you something. I like to kind of say that I was born at 10 pounds and just went up from there. I always remember in elementary school, middle school, high school, always looking around my class and always thinking, I'm the biggest person in this room. I'll turn off my camera so you guys can see kind of my before. This was taken in March of 2024. I look happy and smiling, but when that picture was taken, I was at the San Diego Zoo. We're on this fun safari trip, and we're in this little cart, and I swear the space between the seats was like this big, and my body was this big. And trying to squeeze my butt in and out of that seat was so miserable and so humiliating. I was so miserable. And that's part of the reason why I keep that as my Zoom screen saver picture when I turn off my camera to remember the misery that this disease put on me. At that point, I'd already been in program for a couple weeks. But yeah. When I got into middle school, I started, there was a period of time between when I would get home and when my mom would get home from work, and I would binge my brains out cooking whatever I can possibly get my hands on, as long as it didn't smell too much, because it couldn't make the house smell like it. And clean everything up, and then I would jump on the Norder truck in my parents' room so that when my mom got home, I was exercising, and I was being a good girl, right? And it was then that I realized, because it had like a little calorie tracker, that there's no way in hell to work off all of the calories that I ate in the hour be between when I got home and when she would get home. So I would look at the package of whatever I was eating, or packages more likely, and kind of do the math in my head. And, I'd be working out for, 30, 45 minutes and look at the calorie counter. And I'm like, really? Really? Not even 100 calories. And I consumed 300 calories in 15 minutes. Like, this is ridiculous. I can't keep it off. I live in the Bay Area, and that's relevant to my next little point. On the day of the Loma Prieta earthquake, my mom came into my room and was kind of hounding me, like, why can't you stop eating food? Why are you always eating? Why? And I remember I came up with this idea. this feeling that I'm trying to fill a big black hole inside of me. And I realized after I got into program that I had identified the God-sized hole that we talk about in program at a young age. I was in middle school. I was probably 12, 13. Yeah, to come into program and hear about people talk about their God-sized hole and remembering that conversation, because it always stuck in my mind, not only because it was another nag on me and my weight, but it was, and that conversation ended with the earthquake. So it ended with my mom running out of the room to check on her mom who lived with us, who was disabled. But anyway, when I turned 16 and started driving, drive-throughs became my best friend, and I had plenty of money because I babysat a lot. So not only was I hitting all those pantries still, I was now hitting all of the drive-throughs. Throughout the years, I was in and out of different pay and ways. Buy our food, you'll get thin. Guarantees. I would lose max 80 pounds, hold on for a month or two by the skin of my teeth, white knuckling the whole time, and then just completely lose it because I would have a cheat day and it all would go out the window. And I couldn't figure out why. I was always trying to figure out why. I went to a therapist when I got in my 20s. Was like, why can't I stay on a diet? Why can't I stop eating? I don't want to eat all this food. I don't want to, but I do. And after going through a lot of stuff, she just, told me, well, you're a compulsive overeater and you eat all your emotions. I said, that's fantastic. What do I do? And she goes, well, here's what you do. You think about when you think about binging, stop and think about what emotion you're feeling and just express that emotion. And I said, that's great. Okay. So I went home and I was going through life and I would find myself binging and I would stop and go, okay, what feeling was I feeling? And there was no feeling because I was already binging. Because there was no feel, sorry, feel, stop, think, pause, do. It wasn't even feel, it was just do. I wasn't even aware that I was feeling a feeling. So yeah, that didn't work. And I often think, wonder if she had told me about OA back then, 20 something years ago, would have I had the willingness for a program? Would I have been desperate enough for a program? And I don't think I would have been. But I always wonder. Because I didn't come into program, I'm 48 now, so I was 47. So, or maybe 46, somewhere around there. But anyway, so yeah, I don't think I would have had the willingness back then. Fast forward throughout the years, just the same over and over and over and over again, being miserable, getting larger and larger. Every diet that I did, I would lose and then gain back an extra 20. Pandemic hit, and I became very sedentary because I'm a teacher, and I went from running after kids to sitting in front of a computer all day. gained more weight. A couple years after that, I was in a bad car accident, and just dove even further into the food from the accident. Grateful to be alive, but still miserable. And the tools that I bought for recovering from the accident, like a sock helper putter on her, I never stopped using until I got into OA because I couldn't reach my feet anymore. I couldn't properly put on my own shoes and socks. Tying my shoes, forget about it. So super depressed. Depression was kind of a theme for me throughout my whole teenage life and on. And then in February of 2024, my brother joined OA. And he was in his pink cloud and started 12-stepping me hard, which I am so grateful for. He just, he would talk to me and just, I'll call you when I'm on the Zoom and just put you on speakerphone so you could hear the speaker, so you could hear the meeting. And I finally was like, fine, I'll do it. And in that first meeting that I sat with on the phone with him and listened, I heard the speaker tell my story. And I was like, holy shit. How does this person know? Because it's not something I would have openly talked about to anybody. I didn't even think my brother was doing the same things with food that I did. And his starting weight was a little over 500 pounds. Like, I was just like, it didn't even dawn on me that somebody else could have done that with food, all the crazy behaviors that I did, that we all do. So grateful to him to bring me to program. When I first got to program, I really had fear about letting go of the food, my alcoholic foods. I'm like, those are my best friends. How can I possibly live without them? So I like to say that, since my disease likes to play mind games with my sane brain, which is how I kind of define the two, parts of my brain. I've got my disease brain and my sane brain. I have to play games with my disease. So I had to say, I'm going to do a goodbye tour for now. So here's this food that I have eaten so much of and binged so much of. This is goodbye for now. And I have to tell my disease, I still have to tell my disease some days. I choose not to eat this type of food. My red flag foods, my alcoholic foods, however you want to describe them, because that's how it made it easier for me. And I know that more than likely, will I ever be able to sanely eat sugar or, high fat, high salt foods? Probably not. And I'm okay with that now. But at first, I really, really needed that kind of mental game with my disease. Around the time I became abstinent, I found a sponsor, started working with her, realized it was not a good fit, but quickly got so lucky and found the perfect sponsor for me and started working with her. Working through the steps, I started giving service fairly quickly. Started becoming secretary or, volunteering to read in meetings just to help engage me in a meeting. so that when on the days that my disease was saying, oh, you don't need to go, I had an easy excuse. Yeah, I do. I've got to read the script at that meeting. So I have to go. I have to do this. I have to do that. So I have to go. And it's not that I didn't want to go. It's just always my disease is always trying to make it an excuse for me not to do it. And when I got to step nine and making amends to myself, I realized that going to meetings, being part of OA, working the program, working the steps, using my tools is all part of my living amends to myself for treating myself so badly throughout the years. I go to the gym and I make that a priority because that's a living amends to myself because I've treated my body so badly that I choose to work with a trainer at a CrossFit gym, which I still think is insane, even though I've been going there for over a year. Because I look around the room and I go, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. But you know what? There's stuff that when I walked in there, I'm like, I can't do that. I'm doing now. I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not jumping on boxes or pulling myself up on bars or anything like that. But I found it's also the most, for me, it was the most accepting community at a gym. I walk in there and people are, happy to see me. And it's not just the people that work there. It's, we all support each other. So that's pretty awesome. And I cannot do this program without a higher power. And giving myself, my life, my program, my everything to my higher program every day is one of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning. I pray, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. And thank you for being there for me, helping me stay sane with food, and just, a little conversation with my higher power. At first I really struggled with that whole concept of giving your life step three over to your higher power because I was like, why do I need to do that? But for me, it was became evident when it was life gives my disease reasons to use food. So if I'm not giving my life over to a higher power to use me in a way that's helpful for my higher power, I choose to call my higher power God, but I still refer to it as a higher power. That's just another little way that my disease can get in there and lift up the curtain a little bit with its fingernail and get in. And I need constant reminders to turn to my higher power, so much so that I got myself a tattoo on my arm. It's impossible to show you guys because it's there, but to really remind myself. Every time I look down at my arms, at my hands doing something, my will doesn't get me anywhere. I need to follow my higher power and trust in my higher power to help me through life, to keep me sane. And my time's just about up, and I think that's about all I have to say. So thank you so much.